Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ches, and we are 22 lines from the bottom, Chof Beis, of daf Zayin Amid Beis Tanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So we're moving along, pretty close to the finish line, of the intense dafin that makes up the first 7.5 dafin of Mesech de Shabbos, continuing to discuss the 39th of the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Melacha of Hoitzas. I think it's worth recapping some of the important yesoides that we saw during the first few dafin, which will segue and make it easier to go through some of the cheshbonos that the Gemara is going to talk about on Daf Ches. So number one, we're still discussing the Braisa that the Gemara brought on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, which discusses the four Rishuyos that are relevant L'Inyan Shabbos. What are the four Rishuyos? A Rishus HaYochid, a Rishus HaRabim, a Karmelis, and a Makom Ptur. Midai Raisa, the only two Rishuyos that really matter are Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. How do they matter? If you carry from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, you violated the Malacha of HaMoitzi Mirshus L'Shus. Additionally, if you're in a Rishus HaRabim and you carry something Dalet Amos, again, you violated the Malacha of Haitzah Mirshus L'Shus. What's the technical, what's the halachic definition of carrying? You have to do an Akira, you have to do an Anacha. As we saw, not everything that people would think is carrying is halachically considered carrying. An Akira has to be a Chalois Akira, and a Hanacha has to be a Chalois Hanacha. There's a Shulchan Aruch that governs Akira, there's a Shulchan Aruch that governs Hanacha. But if you do an Akira in a Rishos HaYachid, Hanacha Rishos HaRabim, or an Akira in a Rishos HaRabim, Hanacha Rishos HaYachid, or if you do an Akira in the beginning of Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, then a Hanacha L'Besoif Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, all of the above fall under the category of the 39th of the Lamed Tes Melachos, the Melacha of HaMoitzi Mirshus L'Shus. Now what happens if you carry to or from or within an area that's not a Rishus HaYochid, not a Rishus HaRabim? It's what's known in Halacha as a Makom Ptur. A Makom Ptur is a place of zero significance regarding Hilcha Shabbos. I mean, you can carry from a Rishus HaYochid to a Makom Ptur. You can carry from a Rishus HaRabim to a Makom Ptur. You can carry Dalet Amos in a Makom Ptur. It has no halachic significance. Stating that, the Chachamim went ahead and the Chachamim created a new Rishus. The Chachamim created a Rishus called a Karmelis. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayah says it's ke'armelis. It's like an almana, in a besula, avol, in a nesua. It's something that's neither here nor there. It's not technically a Rishos HaYochid, and it's not technically a Rishos HaRabim. But the Chachamim felt that this is a place where it's important that we go and we say that it be usher to carry. Why? The reason is because although it's not a Rishos HaYochid and it's not a Rishos HaRabim, but at the same time it has certain characteristics of a Rishos HaYochid. It has certain characteristics of a Rishos HaRabim. So it doesn't meet the technical criteria of Rishos HaYochid or Rishos HaRabim, but a little bit it resembles a Rishos HaYochid, a little bit it resembles a Rishus HaRabim, and as a result, the Chachamim said, this is a place where if we're going to allow you to treat this as if it's a Makom Ptur, it's also that maybe people will stop violating the real Malacha of HaMoitzi Mirshus L'Shus. So it's for that reason the Chachamim said that if somebody's in a Karmelis, he can't carry from it to a Rishus HaYochid, because we're going to treat the Karmelis L'Chumro like a Rishus HaRabim. You can't carry from a Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis, because on some level L'Chumro, we're going to treat the Karmelis as if it's a Rishus HaYochid. If you want to carry Dalet Amos in a Karmelis, you can't. Just like you can't carry Dalet Amos in a Rishus HaRabim. This is all Midrabanan. It's not Midai Raisa. Now, what are examples of Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and Karmelis respectively? So, if you think about it from a high level, the Rishus HaYochid is a place where Yechidim live. Rishus HaRabim is a place where Rabim live. But we saw this very, very specific criteria that one needs to meet in order for something to be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Again, this is important for today's daf. As it relates to a Rishus HaYochid, any area that is 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim and has mechitzos that are 10 tfachim tall is considered a Rishus HaYochid. If that area is in the middle of a major highway, it doesn't matter. It could be in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim of Rishus HaRabims. If this is a closed off area that's at least 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim and it has mechitzos that are 10 tfachim tall, that would make that area a Rishus HaYochid. So if you're standing in the middle of a major highway and you would throw something from the highway into this closed off area, you threw from a Rishos HaRabim into a Rishos HaYachid, and you'd be over the Melach of HaMoitzi Mishos Lishos Midai Raisa, Skila, Koris, Chatos. Because that Midai Raisa is the definition of what a Rishos HaYachid is. A Rishos HaYachid doesn't have to have a private, doesn't have to be a private residence with an address in front of it and a mailbox. This area, smack in the middle of a Rishos HaRabim, that would in and of itself be considered a Rishos HaYachid. A bigger chiddush we saw, that even though the halacha states that a Rishos HaYachid has to have mechitzas and that the mechitzas have to be 10 tefachim, sometimes you can have a Rishos HaYachid with no mechitzas at all. How's that possible? Because one of the gifts of Hilchas Erevin and the halachos L'moshe Misinai that govern the mechitzos component of Hilchas Erevin is that sometimes we have a right to use our imagination and create quote-unquote imaginary mechitzos, imaginary partitions. So it actually would be possible to have a Rishos HaYachid where you didn't have these four walls surrounding it of ten tvachim. Good asik mechitzos, good aches mechitzos, pi tikra yoyrit v'soysim, there's a whole bunch of different halachos. The Gemara says mechitzin, chatzitzin, and shiurim are all halachos L'moshe Misinai. And there's a lot of halachos that govern the laws of mechitzos. We always speak about shiurim that are halacha l'moshe misinai. Mechitzos is less popular around Shas, but when you learn Shabbos and Erevin, it comes up a lot. And these halachos of mechitzos are governed by halacha l'moshe misinai, and not everything that you think would or wouldn't be a mechitza would halacha necessarily agree with you. But the bottom line is that's it, the definition of a Rishos HaYachid. As it relates to a Rishos HaRabim, so the Gemara just gave examples of Rishos HaRabim, but if you go through Shas, and we spoke it out from the halacha and Shulchan Aruch right in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, Chelek Dalet. So what is a Rishos HaRabim? It's an area that a lot of people go by, for sure. It has to be at least 16 amis wide. In a Makura, there can't be a roof on top of it. Additionally, it has, according to some, it has to be a place where not just a lot of people go, but 600,000 people go. And the Lashon of the Rambam is 600,000 people, b'chol yoyim, which is very controversial, but every single day maybe you would need 600,000 people to go to. So if you have a place where there's a rabbin, but not that many people, or it doesn't meet some of the technical criteria, then that would not constitute a Rishos HaRabim. Stating that, even though it wouldn't constitute a Rishos HaRabim, most examples of a place where there's a Rabim would at the very least end up being a Carmelis. Because that is what we said, the whole in Tachlis of the Carmelis was. It's to take a place that doesn't meet the technical criteria of a Rishos HaRabim, but it's so similar to a Rishos HaRabim, it so much resembles the Rishos HaRabim that the Chachamim felt we have no choice, but we have to come in and we have to say that this place is going to be us. In fact, the Braisa gave examples of a Carmelis. The sea, so the yam is not a regular Rishos HaRabim or a bika, fields. People, drezachin fields, a field is an open area. It's not a Rishos HaYachid, it's not surrounded by mechitzas, but it's also not a Rishos HaRabim. That would be an example of a place that would be considered a kamos. Either way, so there's four Rishuyas as it relates to the bottom line. You have a Rishos HaYachid, you have a Rishos HaRabim, you have a Carmelis, and you have a Malkum Torah. What's a Malkum Torah? Anything that's not a Rishos HaYachid, it's not a Rishos HaRabim, and it's not a Carmelis. So by process of elimination, there's nothing else that it could be. It has to be a Malkum Torah. Another thing that's important, just to chazer, this was something that we saw in yesterday's daf, on Daf Zayin Amid Aleph, that's important for today's daf, and that is, Rav Chisda said at Halacha, he said, if you had a Levenus Zekufa B'Rishos HaRabim, if you had a brick, and the brick was in a Rishos HaRabim, so the bricks in biblical times were made to spec very, but very, very precisely. They were 3 tefachim wide by 3 tefachim long. 3 by 3, in contrast to 4 on 4, which always matters when you're learning these halachas. So it's 3 tefachim wide by 3 tefachim. And the halacha is that if it's also 3 tefachim tall, they weren't always 3 tefachim tall. But if it was also 3 tefachim tall, so then the halacha is, it's, Rav Chisda said, it's not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim. So it's in the Rishos HaRabim. You have this brick. He said the brick is not part of the Rishos HaRabim. What do you mean it's not part of the Rishos HaRabim? It's in the Rishos HaRabim. So what came from Rav Chisda was a very big chiddush. And Abaya added to that, and other Amiram added to this as well. And they said a very, very important chiddush. And that is, you can have something that's inside a Rishos HaRabim. You could have something that's inside a Rishos HaRabim, but if it's a part of a Rishos HaRabim that people don't use, or it's a part of a Rishos HaRabim that people don't walk on, then that will not have the din of a Rishos HaRabim. So again, this is a very big chiddush. This is an area that's within a Rishos HaRabim, but being that the Rabim doesn't use it, so therefore it's not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim. So if it's not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim, so what is it? So what is it? And this is something when you go through halacha l'maisa of the laws of Eitzah, you have to factor this. Because again, you would think if it's in a Rishos HaRabim, so then what's the question? It's certainly part of the Rishos HaRabim. Dav Zayin Amin Aleph of Chizda's Halacha is Exhibit A for why that's not the case. What's Exhibit B, by the way? Or maybe even Exhibit A before Rav Chizda. We said before that if you would have an area that's Dalet al Dalet, it has Mechitzas, Gevoy, Asar, even if it's smack in the middle of a Rishos HaRabim, it wouldn't have a din of a Rishos HaRabim. It would have a din of a Rishos HaYochid. So you see that you can have a Rishos within a Rishos. Now, Rishos HaYochid is a Deiraisa Degar Rishos. This is not a Deiraisa Degar Rishos. What is it? It's Gimel al Gimel. It's not a Rishos HaYochid. So the point is that not everything that's inside a Rishos HaRabim is always a Rishos HaRabim. So this notion that if I'm in a Rishos HaRabim, I threw something Dalet Amos that landed somewhere in this Rishos HaRabim, that by definition means that I was over the Malach of Eitzah, Havaris Dalet Amos Rishos HaRabim, is not true. Because you have to make sure that the thing it landed on was in a Rishos HaRabim. What do you mean? It's on the Garden State Parkway. What is it? No. It's not muchach. It doesn't necessarily have to be that it landed on a Rishos HaRabim. Was it on an area that's dalet al dalet, that has mechitzes, gedasa, gedachas? Then maybe it didn't land on a Rishos HaRabim. Maybe it landed on a Rishos HaYochid. Now, what are the possibilities? The possibilities actually are that thing that it landed on could be either a Rishos HaYochid, if it was dalet al dalet, had mechitzes ten tefachim. It could also be a karmelis. It could also be a makom p'tor. How would it be a karmelis? So a karmelis, we saw in yesterday's daf as well, and this is also important, has to be dalet al dalet. If an area is less than dalet al dalet, just like a rishus hayochid that's not dalet al dalet is not a rishus hayochid, so too a karmelis has to be at the very least dalet al dalet. If it's not dalet al dalet, then it wouldn't be considered a karmelis. So if this area was dalet al dalet, and it didn't have mechitzas that were 10 tefachim tall, because if it had mechitzas that were 10 tefachim tall, it would be a rishus hayochid. So if it was dalet al dalet, didn't have mechitzas that were 10 tefachim tall, then it would be considered a karmelis. If it wasn't dalet al dalet, then it would be a makom p'tor. So if you have a part of a rishus harabim that people don't use, it's not part of the hishtamshus of the rishus harabim, it doesn't have a din of a rishus harabim. That's a fact. Now we have to figure out what it is. So take a look at it. Just measure it. If it's dalet al dalet at gevoy asar tefachim, it's a rishus hayochid. If it's dalet al dalet but it's not gevoy asar tefachim, then it's a karmelis. If it's not even dalet al dalet, then by definition it's going to be a makom p'tor. Because if it doesn't meet the criteria of a rishus hayochid, it doesn't meet the criteria of a karmelis, then you work backwards. Then by process of elimination, you always figure out a makom p'tor by ruling out the other possibilities. So you rule out the other possibilities so you know that what it's going to end up being is going to end up being a makom p'tor. One other thing that's important that we'll start, and that is that the halacha is that a Rishos HaRabim is only considered a Rishos HaRabim up until 10 tefachim. So if you're in a Rishos HaRabim, but you're in the ear space of the Rishos HaRabim, 10 tefachim above the ground, 10 tefachim is not very high, it's a few feet. So if you're 10 tefachim above the ground, that's not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim. A Rishos HaYochid is oyla ad rakia. What about a karmelis? So the Gemara said a karmelis is treated like a Rishos HaRabim. In fact, the lashon of the Gemara was that the karmelis has the kulas of a Rishos HaYochid and it has the kulas of a Rishos HaRabim. It has the kulas of a Rishos HaYochid that it has to be dalet al dalet. It has the kulas of a Rishos HaRabim that it's only oila up until yud tefachim. It's not oila ad l'rakia. Regardless, we're in the middle of discussing machloikis between Abaya and Rava. The machloikis was, you're in a Rishos HaRabim, and there's a wall on the side of the Rishos HaRabim. Inside the wall, there's a hole in the wall. Chayrei Rishos HaRabim. Not Sidei Rishos HaRabim, but rather Chayrei Rishos HaRabim. The question is, the Chayrei Rishos HaRabim, did it have a din of a Rishos HaRabim, or did the Chayrei Rishos HaRabim not have a din of a Rishos HaRabim? Abaya said the Chayrei Rishos HaRabim had a din of a Rishos HaRabim. Rava said the Chayrei Rishos HaRabim did not have a din of a Rishos HaRabim. And the Gemara picks up on that. Now, tonight we're new to the Mishnah. Zirik arba amis bekoisol. If somebody's in a Rishos HaRabim, he threw something dalet amos. So you throw something dalet amos and it lands in the Rishos HaRabim. Were you for sure over havaris dalet amos b'Rishos HaRabim? So based on this long-winded introduction, we know for sure not. I mean, it's not muchach that you are. I mean, what are some of the things you would want to know? Did it land on a Rishos HaYochid that was inside the Rishos HaRabim? So you have a whole other set of problems. But maybe it landed on a karmelis. Maybe it landed on a makom p'tor. Maybe it landed l'mailo me'asar tefachim. L'mailo me'asar tefachim is also not considered a Rishos HaRabim. So at first glance, what do you mean? I threw something, it landed in the Rishos HaRabim, I was over avara. That's very much not true by the time you're holding Shabbos Daf Zayin Amud Beis. So here we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses someone that was Zayrik Arba Amis and it landed on a wall inside the Rishos HaRabim. L'may l'may asar tfachim. So if it landed on the side of the wall, that's important. And it was more than 10 tefachim off the ground, because Zayrik Ba'aver, you're going to be potter. Why? Because it landed, there was a Hakira, there was a Anocha, it was in the Rishos HaRabim, it traveled Dal Ramas. But the problem is, the Anocha wasn't in the Rishos HaRabim, because it was Lamayla Me'asar Tefachim. Lamata Me'asar Tefachim, if however it landed, Lamata Me'asar Tefachim, then it's Zayrik Ba'aretz. Then it's as if it landed on the ground, meaning it's part of the Rishos HaRabim. If it's part of the Rishos HaRabim, then you're going to be Chatav. My Zoyrik Ba'aretz. Why is it Zoyrik Ba'aretz? Follow Enoch. Where was the Hanacha? I mean, the Gemara is assuming right now that if it landed on the side of the wall, so that's not a real Hanacha. At the end of the day, you need a Hanacha. It's very nice. It's in the Rishos HaRabim because it's within the ear space of Ten Tefachim. But it never landed anywhere. It's on the side of the wall. How does something stick to the side of the wall? Rabbi Yechon about the Vela Shmein Hashano. It's talking about a Zavtik, a fig. And it's sticky. Because it's sticky, it was able to land on the side of the wall. Okay, what's the Gemara's kasha? So Rava told Abaya, I have a kasha on you. Because v'isol kadaitach, that chayrush is rabbin, kushrus is rabbin, dami. If you're right, that the chayrush is rabbin, kushrus is rabbin. Why do you have to make it a kimta that's talking about a sticky fig? Look, ma b'tzrar v'chefetz. It could be anything. Let it be a tzrar, let it be a chayfetz. Udenach b'char, but hacha b'maya skinner, where there was a hole in the wall, and it landed in the hole. You got it in, boom. So because you got it in, so now there was a hanacha. Meaning, Bishlam, according to me, says Rava, with Chayri Rishos HaRabim is not Ki Rishos HaRabim Dami. So if somebody threw something, Dalet Amos and Rishos HaRabim, it landed in a hole in the wall, he wasn't over the Malach of Avara, because there was no Hanoch in the Rishos HaRabim, because the Chayre of the Rishos HaRabim is Lav Kishos HaRabim. But according to you, Abayr Chayre Rishos HaRabim is Kishos HaRabim. So in that Mishnah later in Perek HaZorik, where Rabbi Yochanan made an Akimta B'Devei L'Shmein Hashanu, he had no other way to figure out Pshat in this Mishnah without making an Akimta that we're talking about a sticky fig. Like, what do you have to do that for? Just say simple. It's talking about, there was a hole. It must be, it's not considered Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara says that when Rava asked Abaya this question, apparently, more than once, so he had two go-to answers that he used to give. Zim the Mishani Lay. Sometimes Abaya would tell Rava, Shani Tzorav Chayf is the Mahadavasi. No, it's not so simple. I mean, you have to be pretty good to be able to throw something Dalet Amos about 8 feet in a Rishos HaRabim, a rock, and it's going to land inside the hole. Not everybody could do that. Vizim the Mishani Lay, and sometimes he would answer, Bekoisel the Les Bechar. We're talking about a wall that has no holes. Says the Gemara, Mimai, as it relates to that second teretz, the Gemara says it's not just an Akimta that we're talking about a hole or a wall that doesn't have a hole. It has to be that way. You know why? Because midik tani reisha, the reisha that Mishnah said what? Zorak lemayla me'asara tvachim zorak ba'aver. Right, if you throw lemayla me'asara tvachim, then you're potter. It's only if you throw it lemata me'asara tvachim that you're going to be chai. What's the kasha? Why you potter? Because lemayla me'asara tvachim is not in the ear space of the Rishos HaRabim anymore, because the Rishos HaRabim, his ear space only goes up until 10 tvachim. Anything above that even would not be considered Rishos HaRabim anymore. Now, the kasha is, very good, the area of Lamayla Me'asara Tfachim is not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim, but shouldn't it be treated like a Rishos HaYachid? V'yisol kadaitach b'koysol de'isbechar, amay kizayrik ba'aver, hanach b'char. Why don't we look at that area, at the very least, as if it's a Rishos HaYachid? Being that it landed inside a hole, inside the wall, assuming the wall is Dalet al Dalet, so it's 10 Tefachim, it's Dalet al Dalet, it meets the criteria of a Rishos HaYachid, so why shouldn't you be Chayiv for Rishos HaYachid? Now what do you mean? Why do you always say you Chayiv for Rishos HaYachid? Every time you throw it against the Rishos HaYachid, you should be Chayiv for the Rishos HaYachid. So Rashi speaks out, because when you throw something on the side of a Rishos HaYachid, even though an area that's Dalet al Dalet, that has Mechitzas 10 Tefachim tall as a Rishos HaYachid, but that's only if it lands on top of the Rishos HaYachid. If it lands on the side of the Rishos HaYachid, it won't be considered a Rishos HaYachid. So that doesn't bother me. If we're talking about a Dvei L'Shmeina, so I understand the Mishnah, says Abaya. But if we're not talking about a Dvei L'Shmeina, you want it to be talking about where there was a hole in the wall, which, says Abaya, according to me, would make sense. It could be considered a Rishos HaRabim, but then you have to factor in something else, because then it's going inside the Rishos. It's in the hole. So if it's going inside the Rishos, so now we're ready, L'chura, it's You have to look at this wall as a Rishos Hayochid. So even if it's the Maila Me'asara, we're from a Dalai Lama's Rishos Rabin perspective, you didn't do anything wrong, because the Rishos Rabin only goes up to 10 Tvachim. But at the same time, look at it now as a Rishos Hayochid, you should be chayef for being Moitzi Rishos Rabin, Rishos Hayochid. Now says, maybe you're going to tell me, Masnis in the Lesbo Arbar Larbo. Maybe the case was where the hole itself wasn't Dalai Lama. So being that the hole itself, it's on the side of the wall, the hole itself is not Dalai Lama. So you can't look at the hole where the item landed as being its own Rishos Hayochid. But Abaya addressed that. Abaya preempted that. He said, if somebody throws a chayfetz on Ma'ilam Yasara and it lands in a little char, a little hole on the side of the wall, Banu l'machloikis, Meramei v'rabanon, l'chur, it should be Toli machloikis, Meramei v'rabanon. Which machloikis? Erevin, daf yud, aleph, amid beis. Meramei yasav ha-choikikin l'hashlim, v'rabanon tzavri, ein choikikin l'hashlim. So even though it sounds like a real intense Erevin sugi, the Gemara is actually discussing over there Hilchas Mezuzah, and we're discussing an entranceway that doesn't really have the criteria, the dimensions, in order for it to be Chayim Mezuzah. However, if you would start knocking out some bricks, you do a little renovation, the space is there for it. It's just, for example, the classic case is where you have a rounded arch, and because you have a rounded arch, so you don't have the dimensions for a mezuzah. But if you would knock out the rounded portion of it, and you would make it a perfect rectangle or a square, so now already you would have enough space. So Rameir says, a chiddush chaykikin lahashlam. We use our imagination again, it's a real Erevin concept, and we make believe that you knocked it out, and then the dimensions are there, you end up being chayiv. Rabbanon hold ein chaykikin lahashlam. Sabaya held that if Rameir holds chaykikin lahashlam in Mesechtes Erevin with regards to chiyav mezuzah, he should hold chaykikin lahashlam here, that even if you have only a small char, but if there's enough space within the wall to dig a little and renovate and make the char bigger, that would be enough to look at it as a makom dalet al dalet. Now, stam mishnah is Rameir. And Rameir is the one that holds chaykikin lahashlim. So what's pshat in that mishnah? That if somebody throws a chayfetz from Rishos HaRabim and lands on the side of the wall, l'mayla me'asar tfachim, you're pot there, because l'mayla me'asar tfachim is not part of the Rishos HaRabim. Very good, it's not part of the Rishos HaRabim. But it's a Rishos HaYachid. It landed on an area. You'll tell me, because the char is not dalet al dalet, Rameir l'shitasa yotz chaykikin lahashlim. Elav, shmami no, because less bechar. Shmami no, must we were talking about a koisel that's less lechar. That's what we had to come on today, Kimta of the Vela Shmeina Shana. Guf Amrav Chizda. No, it's going to be Rishos HaYachid. If somebody would stick a pole in a Rishos HaYachid, so it's in a Rishos HaYachid. This is important. Vizorak Benach Al Gabov, and he threw something from a Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaYachid. So here we're not discussing Dalet Amos Rishos HaRabim. We're discussing going from a Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaYachid. So you're standing in Rishos HaRabim, you throw something on a pole with a basket on top, and it landed on top of this basket. So the halach is afilu gavaya meya amo. Even if the basket is 100 amos off the ground, chayef mipnei sherishus hayochid oila adlerakia. Because even though Rishos HaRabim only goes up to 10 tvachim, and even though a Carmelis, we said, only goes up to 10 tvachim, but a Rishos HaYachid is oila adlerakia. So I mean that it's oila adlerakia, the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv. Now, where was this pole? It was in a Rishos HaYachid. So the whole Rishos HaYachid, literally up to the Shamayim, is considered, says the Gemara, Lemer Rav Chizda Dama Kerebi. Do we have a raya from Rav Chizda that he holds like Rebbe? So we're going back to something that we saw already at the beginning of the Masech. The time we went to the Brayis is Zorek. V'nachal Gabi Ziz Kolshu. If somebody throws an item in a Rishos HaRabim and it landed in the Rishos HaRabim, but on a Ziz, on a protrusion that was sticking out of the ground. Rebbe Mechayev V'chacham and Poitrim. Now, what did the Gemara speak out earlier in the parak? What do you see from Rebbe Shita? Alma loy bina makam arbal arba. That you don't need that the Akira should be from a place that's dalar adalar, and that the Anacha should be on a place that's dalar adalar. The Gemara's kasha is, the assumption is that this top of the kana, not kana b'shus hayachid, v'zarach v'nach al gabav. That area is probably not a makam dalar adalar. So if it's not a makom dalet al dalet, fake the Gemara, why are you chayiv? Don't you need a hanoch on a makom dalet al dalet? So the Gemara already speaks out. I think it's a machlokes Rabbi and the Chachamim. So I think Rav Chizda is only going according to Rabbi. No, the point is this. The point is that when this person threw an item and it landed 100 amas from the ground on top of the kana, it's true the eerie of 100 amas is Rishus HaYachid. So you address the fact that you had an Akira in a Rishus HaRabim, you had an Anocha in a Rishus HaYachid. The problem is if there's a din that the Anocha has to be on a Makam Dalet al Dalet, which the Gemara already discussed at length in the beginning of the Masechta, so if there is such a halacha, where's the Makam Dalet al Dalet? So the Gemara says, I think really it's Machlokes Rabbi the Chachamim. Amar Abaye said, Rishus HaYachid. Maybe in Rosh Hashayachid there would be no machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim at all. Meaning Rebbe and the Chachamim would both agree that you don't need a hanoch on a mokum dalad al dalad in Rav Chizda's case. Ayin Rashi has two pshatim exactly how to learn this gemara. It's talking not about the classical case. It's the same akimta that the Gemara already made. Rather, we're talking about an ilan that was in a Rosh Hashayachid. It had a branch that was stretched down into Rosh Hashayachid. And somebody threw something and landed on the branch. Even though the knife itself is not a makam dalad al dalad, but we look at it as an extension of the main part of the tree. And as a result, the trunk of the tree is a makam dalad al dalad. So we look at the branch as if it's a makam dalad al dalad as well. Rabbanan savi, the Rabbanan hold loyam minu shati neifu basa ikroi. And as a result, the halacha is, you go, the kitzur, what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Chizda's halacha is an okay halacha. No one has a problem with it. Everybody agrees with Rav Chizda's halacha. All the Gemara is saying has nothing to do with the machloek is Rebbe and the Chacham. The machloek is Rebbe and the Chacham is shadi neifu basa ikroi. I loy shadi neifu basa ikroi. It's not a question in a vacuum. If you have an area that's not dalad al dalad, you do a hanocha on that area, whether it's considered an hanocha. Even Rebbe, who said it is considered an hanocha, when you have a protrusion, he didn't just mean anything that's protruding. He meant the branch that's protruding from a tree. The tree is a makom dalad al dalad. It's over there that Rebbe said is a locha. How does that relate to Rav Chizda? Whatever. Rav Chizda, for some reason, held that in his case, it's going to be okay. Why? So Ayin Rashi. But the point is, all the Gemara speaks out, so that's all we're going to speak out, is that Rav Chizda's halacha has nothing to do with the machloek is Rebbe the Chacham. Machloek is Rebbe the Chacham, that's the easy way to go about that, because the next Gemara is really easy. So, machloek is Rebbe and the Chachamim is machloek is what the Shadi Neifer Basar Gufay, as relates to Rav Chizda's halacha, could be Kuli Amaloi Pligi, Kid Rav Chizda, Ayin Rashi, Tub Shatim. Either way, the next Gemara is a very, very big Chiddish, it's known as the Sugi of Kiveres or Kaveres, but a very big Kiddush in the halachas of Eitzel. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Zorak kiveres v'shus harabim. If somebody would take a basket. Now, a kiveres in Shas sometimes means a basket, specifically a woven basket. It's shasi v'erev, a woven basket. It sometimes means a beehive. Kiveres shel devarim. In our sugya, it means a basket. And really, the significance of what we're saying is not so much the basket as much as it's something round that's made of wicker. It's made of twigs. But so just think of a wicker basket. So Amar Abaye Zara Kiveres, if somebody would take a Kiveres and he would throw it from a Rishos HaYochid li Rishos HaRabim to a Rishos HaRabim. Gavoya Asara, if the basket, so we're not discussing how high he threw it, but rather we're discussing the basket itself, the physical nature of the basket. If it's 10 tvachim tall, the inner rechav shisha, and it's not 6 tvachim wide, the halacha is chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Rechav shisha, if however it was 6 tvachim wide and it was 10 tvachim tall, Potter, he's going to be Potter. So what's unique about a kiveres that's 10 tvachim tall and it's 6 tvachim wide? What's unique about it is, if it's 10 tvachim tall and 6 tvachim wide, it has the dimensions of a Rishos HaYachid. Why? You'll tell me Rishos HaYachid is only 4 tvachim. So this is back of the envelope arithmetic. Actually, you may need a calculator for this. But this is a little bit of math, and that is, the kiveres is round. I mean that the kiveres is round, so it has to be wide enough. The diameter of the circle has to be such that you can fit a square inside of it that's going to be dalad al dalad. So if you draw a circle, you put a square inside, and then you draw a diagonal line from one side of the circle to the other side of the circle, or from one corner of the square to the other corner of the square, that diagonal is going to be 1.4 times the shear of the walls of the circle. Or so the point is, in order to take a square that's dalad al dalad, fit it into a circle, that circle is going to have to be more than 4 tvachim. How much more than 4 tvachim is it going to have to be? So the Gemara says 6 tvachim. Now really, all the Rishonim speak out, it's not 6 tvachim, it's really 5.6 tvachim, but for our purposes, we're going to round the number off. So the point is that what you now have is a kiveres that has the dimensions of a Rishos HaYachid. Here's Abaye's Chiddush. Abaye came into this Medrash said, Alamdus. He said, Haitzah is when you take an item and you might see a Rishos Lushos. But if I take a Rishos and I might see the Rishos, Mirshus Lishus, then I'm going to be potter. So being that this Kiveres has the criteria of a Rishus Hayach, I thought a Rishus Hayach is a residence with a mailbox and a driveway. No, that's and a puppy. That's not what it is. What it is it's an area that's dalet al dalet and skevoya, asar etfachim. That is the definition of a Rishus Hayachid. So this Kiveres is a Rishus Hayachid right now. It's skevoya, asar etfachim. It has four mechitzes. It's six tfachim or 5.6 tfachim or four tfachim. That's the point, is it meets the criteria of a Rishus Hayachid. You threw it Mishus Lishus, so you didn't throw. Now, if you could throw a Rishus Rabbah, Mishus Lishus, Abai would probably say the same halacha, but that's going to be challenging. But to throw Rishus Hayachid, so, Mekenz Chanetze gave in. The point is that being that this is a Rishus, Hamoitzi Chefetz Mishus Lishus, that's Haitzah. But if someone throws a Rishus Mishus Lishus, then you're going to be potus. Amr Abaye again. Zora kiveres l'shus harabim from l'shus yochad l'shus harabim. The kiveres was gevoya asor. It was in a rechavishisha. So meaning it did not meet the criteria of being a rishus hayachid. Then you're going to be chayef because it doesn't have a din of a rishus. Rechavishisha. If, however, it's six tvachim potter, then you're going to be potter. Rava Amr Rava said. Afilu in a rechavishisha. Rava told Abaye, in your case, I don't think it even has to be six tfachim wide, and still the halach is going to be potter. Why? If it's not six tfachim wide, or if it's not 5.6 tfachim wide, then it's not a rishos hayachid. So why would you be potter? Rabbi says for another reason. My time, because the efshel akroy mishal kano shalayalu l'mayla me'asar. Because we said that this basket was made of wicker. Being that it was made of wicker, inevitably there's going to be some twigs that are going to be protruding on top of the kiveres. If there's going to be some twigs on top of the kiveres, that means the kiveres is not really 10 tvachim tall. It's more than 10 tvachim tall. So here comes another lumbus. So said Rava, if that's the case, when you throw this kiveres from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim, it doesn't matter how close to the ground the kiveres was, it's inevitable that part of the kiveres was above 10 tvachim of the Rishus Harabim. The significance of which is, l'mayla me'asar tvachim in a Rishus Harabim is not part of the Rishus Harabim. Which means, and here's the punchline, that a chelik of the chefetz that was noch in the Rishus HaRabim was noch in the makom p'tur of the Rishus HaRabim. Or, more accurately, it wasn't noch in the Rishus HaRabim. It was noch in a makom p'tur. If I do an akir in a Rishus HaYachid, and then I do a hanocha that's partially in a Rishus HaRabim, and partially in a Rishus HaYachid, even if most of it isn't, or partially in a Malkum Tor, even if most of it is in a Rishus HaRabim, and only a small part of it is in the Malkum Tor, it's, you're not going to be Chayef. In order to be Chayef, HaMoitzi Mishus L'shus, you need the entire items Hanochet to be in the Rishus HaRabim. Said Rava, once this basket is exactly 10 Tvachim tall, it's impossible that that's going to happen. So if it's possible that that's going to happen, because inevitably the kremius, the little strands are going to be above the 10 tfachim, and the little strands are enough that it would constitute that part of it is not under Rishus HaRabim, part is not under Rishus HaRabim, you're not going to do that. So Abaya and Rava both said tremendous lumduses. Abaya's lumdus was that if somebody is zoyrek or rishus, me rishus lirishus, you're not chayef for hamoitzi rishus lishus. Rava's love this was that if you do a hanocha that's miktas in a mokum chiyuv and miktas in a mokum tor, the halacha is that you're going to be potter. Says the Gemara Vayter, another halacha, kafa alpio. What would be if when the person threw this kiveres, he threw it not with the right side facing up, but rather with the right side facing down? So a basket, the open side is usually facing up. That's how you use the basket. If you do it backwards, then everything that you have is going to fall in. You're not going to be able to put anything inside of it. So that would be the wrong side. So kafa alpio, in the event that you threw it the wrong side, another halacha. Shivu mashu, if it's seven tfachim and a mashu chayiv, you're going to be chayiv. Shivu mechza, if however it's 7.5 tvachim, then the halacha is you're going to be potter. You're automatically going to be potter. What's the reason? Because if it's 7.5 tvachim, that means that as soon as it comes to within 3 tvachim of the ground, it's already considered as if there was a hanocha. So backwards. There's a halacha called Lavud. Lavud governs Mesachta Shabbos, it governs Mesachta Erevin, it governs Mesachta Sukkah, of course. The concept of Lavud is that if you have a mechitza that doesn't, it starts from on top, let's say it's attached to a ceiling, it comes down to the ground, but it doesn't go all the way to the ground. There's a little bit of space underneath it. So could you extend the mechitza all the way to the ground, or can you not extend it all the way down to the ground? Lavud says that if it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, it's a halach and hilchas mechitzas, we allow the mechitza to extend all the way to the ground. The laws of Lavud are important in Hilchas Sukkah. You want to know if you have four walls in your Sukkah. It's important in Hilchas Erevin. You want to know if something's considered a wall with regards to, do I need an Erev? How do I make an Erev? And it also is Negeya in the laws of Shabbos, wherever we're discussing, number one, Mechitzas, such as Mechitzas for Rishus HaYachid. Additionally, if you want to know whether something is within 10 Tfachim for the ground, or if better, if something's considered nach, because in the laws of Eitzah, it's all about Akira and Hanacha. Because of Lavud, this is a huge chiddush. You don't need the item to actually touch the ground. Once the item is within three tvachim of the ground, as long as the item that you threw is a mechitza on some level, or you can use your imagination and convert it into a mechitza, now I can apply the halacha of Lavud. And it may be considered nach, even if it didn't touch the ground, and could be it be chayv achatas, even though it never touched the ground. Unbelievable. Because of the chiddush atayra of lavud. So says the Gemara, what would be if I took this kiveris and I threw it? Once it's within three tfachim of the ground, you have lavud. But that's only if it's kaf al piyah. Why only if it's kaf al piyah? Because if it's kaf al piyah, so then you could look at the walls of the basket as if it's a mechitza. So if you look at it as if it's a mechitza, so then you can use the halacha of lavud. If, however, the part that's facing the ground is the bottom, that's not a mechitza. So being that it's not a mechitza, the bottom of it is just the bottom of a basket. So it's not a mechitza. The sides, if it's flipped backwards, you could see mechitzas. You see a sukkah somehow. But at the bottom of the keli, there's no way to see that way. As a result, there's no lavud. If there's no lavud, it won't be the keli. But in the event that it's kaf al piyah, so now you have the halacha of lavud. So once it's within three tvachim to the ground, what happens? If it's within three tfachim, it's already nach. If the basket is 7.5 tfachim tall, so then it comes out, when did the hanacha happen? As soon as it came to within three tfachim, a little less than three tfachim. As soon as it was within, by the way, Rashi doesn't have to be 7.5, it has to be 7.2 mashahus. So as soon as it gets to sheva ushnei mashahuyin, that's Rashi's lashon. So as long as it gets to 2 mashahuyin, or 7.5 tfachim, to keep it simple, so then already the hanacha happened. Now when the hanacha happened, where was the top of the basket? It was above 10 tvachim. What did we just say? That you need all of it to be in the Rishus HaRabim in order to be chayiv. If a little bit is not in Rishus HaRabim, it's not hanacha. So says the Gemara, kaf al piyah, shivu mashu chayiv, shivu mechtzo. If it's more than a shivu mashu, so then the hanacha is going to happen where part of it is going to be l'mayla me'asar tvachim. In that case, you go to, says Rashi, this halacha even Abaye is moided to. Abaye is moided to this halacha. Meaning, when Abaye and Rava argued regarding the kiveres that einu rechava shisha, but it was Gevaya Asara. Whether you chayev a potter, what did Abaye say? Abaye said the only time you chayev for the kiv, the only time you potter for the kiveris, if it was Rechav HaShisha, if it's a Rishos. Rava said no. Rava said it doesn't have to be a Rishos. Rava said as long as it's Gevaya Asara, you have the Kremius. So Pasha, you learn, Abaye disagreed with Rava because Abaye didn't agree with Rava's Chiddush. Rava's Chiddush, Abaye, we said, was speaking out of Chiddush. Rava was saying a Chiddush. Abaye's Chiddush was if you throw a Rishos, you're potter. What was Abaye's, what was Rava's Chiddush? Rava's Chiddush was a part of the thing was knock in a Makam Tur, you're going to be potter. So Pasha, you can say that. Maybe Rava didn't hold of Abaye's Chiddush. Maybe. Maybe Abaye didn't hold of Rava's Chiddush. Says Rashi, no. This last halach of Kaf Alpiyah sounds like even Abaye is agreeing to. So if even Abaye is agreeing to it, it means even Abaye is moida to Rava's Chiddush. He agrees that a part of the Hanacha happened in a Makam Tor, then you're going to be Potter. So why didn't Abaye hold like Rava regarding the halacha where you were Zara Kiveres and it was less than 6 Tvachim or less than 5.6 Tvachim that you should be Potter? Why don't you say a little bit of Zlamayla? So Rashi says you have to say Balabatish. You have to say that the Kroimius is not considered part of the Kiveres. Over here, the Kiveres itself, part of it is Lamayla Me'asara. Over there, the Kiveres was a perfect 10 Tvachim. And it could be when you threw it, there was no part of the Kiveres itself that was Lamayla Me'asara. Rava said, Efsher the Kiveres, it's impossible that the Kremia shall come. Abaye said, I don't care about the Kremia shall come. So Abaye wasn't arguing with Rava in the Lumdus of Rava. Everybody agrees to that Lumdus and Rava. Abaye was just arguing as it relates to should the Kremias matter or should they not matter. Rav Ashi says, Afilu Shivu Mechzachai. Rav Ashi disagrees with this whole halacha. He says, if you take a basket, you flip it upside down, you're going to tell me love it. There's no way you're going to have love it. Why not? My time in Mechitzas, L'toichan Asuyas. It's not a real Mechitza. Because in mechitzas, you have the laws of lavud. But you're going to tell me an upside-down basket is considered a mechitza? If baskets were meant to be used upside down, then clearly when this keli was constructed, it was done with the intention of the sides of it being a mechitza. But it's not. The way people use baskets are l'toicha nasuyos, it's for the inside of it, which means it has to be facing upwards, not downwards. If that's the case, you can use your imagination. It's as much as you can use your imagination sometimes when you learn these sugyas, but Rav Ashi drew the line, and he said to now tell me that the walls of the kiver, your wicker basket, turned into a sukkah, that already he wasn't comfortable saying. Says the Gemara, another halacha, this is all me inyan, le'inyan, very much ba'ose inyan, amarula, amutisha, b'rishos harabim. So we saw, and that's Zayin Amad Aleph, we mentioned it again in the introduction, and that is not everything in a Rishos HaRabim is considered a Rishos HaRabim. You could have something in a Rishos HaRabim that would be considered a Rishos HaYochid. You could have something in a Rishos HaRabim that would be considered a Karmelis. You could have something in a Rishos HaRabim that would be considered a Makka in Pitor. Not everything in a Rishos HaRabim is considered a Rishos HaRabim. One of the things we saw was that if you have a brick that's lying in a Rishos HaRabim, or we had in yesterday's daf, the thorns or the tzaya, could be these are not part of the Rishos HaRabim. Why? Because the Rabim doesn't use it. Chayre Rishos HaRabim, Achlik Sabayvirov, that was the beginning of the daf. So you have different halachas in terms of just because something's in a Rishos HaRabim doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Rishos HaRabim. So Ula went on that note, and Ula said that if you have a pole, you have a beam in a Rishos HaRabim that's 9 tefachim tall. Now, it's important. It's exactly 9 tefachim. It's not 8, it's not 9.5. It's exactly 9 tefachim tall. So the halach is v'rabim mekasfenov. This is a pole that people use. So why would they use it? They were mekasfenolov. That's like the halacha we had. Someone was oymed lekasef. They would adjust the loads that they were carrying sometimes on that pole. So you need a break for us. Oh, you need to just adjust. Help yourself adjust it. That's what the purpose of this pole was. V'zarek v'nachal gabov. And somebody's in a rishos harabim. He throws dalet amos. And it landed on that pole, on the amud that was exactly 9 tefachim tall. So what's the halacha chayev? Meaning it's considered that it landed in a rishos harabim. My time epochas mishloisha midrash darsalei rabim. So Ula went and he gave a long explanation. He said if you have something in rishos harabim that's less than 3 tefachim, that's for sure part of the rishos harabim. Why? Because the Olam walks on it. Mishloisha v'atisha, if it's 3 tefachim, like the Gemara said, of Zayin and Aleph, up until 9, you get 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So then the halach is loy midrash darsile. No one walks on it. For like kesufi mechasfi. And nobody uses it to adjust their loads. Meaning it's too big for people to step on, but it's too small to use it to adjust your load. As a result, it doesn't have a din of a rishos harabim. Tisha, but once it's 9 tefachim, vadi mechasfi ni love it. Then people use it already. And being that people use it already, so therefore it's considered part of the rishos harabim. So Ula didn't really say shabik kiddush. Once we know Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, and we know the introduction, it's very simple. Not everything in a Rishos HaRabim is considered a Rishos HaRabim. If it's 3 tefachim or taller, it's takin. Not part of the Rishos HaRabim, less than 3 it is. What about 9? Oh, 9 already is different. So up to 3, yeah, from 3 to 9, no. Once it's 9, it's again considered part of the Rishos HaRabim. Only Abaye the Rabbi Yosef. Abaye asked his Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, Gumamai, what about a ditch? What about a ditch? That what? So it's Machlokes Rashi tells us how to learn the Gemara. We'll learn the Gemara like Rashi. Rashi says he was asking specifically about a ditch that's 9 tefachim deep. So Ula said as halacha regarding an amud tisha. Abaye's question to Rabbi Yosef was, what about a guma tisha? So you have a ditch that's exactly 9 tefachim deep. So what's the halacha? Do you also treat it as part of the Rishos HaRabim? Do you not treat it as part of the Rishos HaRabim? Do you say, which part, who in the Rabim uses the ditch? Or maybe no. 9 tefachim, maybe there's some magic to it. Now, what was the 9 tefachim that Ula said the rabbin would use it for? They adjusted their loads. You're not going to adjust your loads in a ditch that's 9 tefachim deep. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So what they would use the ditch for is they would sometimes hide their kalim. Coincidentally, the number 9 seems to be significant because the shaila was that just like 9 is the number when it comes to adjusting your load, so too 9 somehow is the number as it relates to being matzniah. If it's less than 9, for sure no one's matzniah. The question was, what if it's 9? 9 tvachim. Just like 9 tvachim, you find an amud that's tisha tvachim. That's where Rashi learns the Gemara, which place says very dachuk. But that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. So 9, gzeira shava. So if a 9 amud is considered part of the Rishos HaRabim, maybe a 9 in a guma also. Amaleis, Rabbi Yosef told Abaye the chem beguma. Yeah, the same halachas regarding the guma. A guma that's 9 tvachim deep is considered part of the Rishos because even though people use it, but it's hard to use, it's inconvenient, so it's not going to. Rav Adar Bar Masa le Rav Oz. Rav Adar Bar Masa has two kashas on Rav, two bomba kashas. Number one, a brisa. Someone had a kupa, he had a basket, and the basket was in a Rishos HaRabim. It was It was 10 tefachim tall, and it was 4 tefachim wide. So it's a yena kupa, right? It's a Rishos HaYochid. That's really what it is. But it's technically, it's a kupa. But it's a kupa that has the dimensions of a Rishos Hayach. So what's the halacha? In the Rishos HaRabim, Ein Metal Talei Mitoichel Rishos HaRabim, V'lem Rishos HaRabim L'Toichel. Why? Because it has a din of Rishos Hayach. You can't carry from it to Rishos HaRabim, you can't carry from Rishos HaRabim to Tfachas Mikain. Let's say it's less than four Tfachim by four Tfachim, or it's less than 10 Tfachim. This is important. So it's, what does Pachas Mikain mean? It's either not Dalet al Dalet, or it's not 10 Tfachim. The punchline is the same, meaning it doesn't have the dimensions of Rosh Hashayach in Metaltlin. Then the halach is that you're allowed to be Metaltlin. Then it's not a problem. The chen beguma, the same is going to be true with regards to guma. So before we go weit, let's just understand this halacha, right? What's the obvious question over here? If it's less than dalet al dalet, or if it's less than 10 tfachim, so the halacha is you can be Metaltl. Now, if it's less than 4 tfachim, for sure you can be Metaltl. Why? Because if it's less than 4 tfachim, it's not part of the Rishos HaRabim, it's 10 tfachim tall, so it's a Malkum Tor. So if it's a Malkum Tor, so there's no issur, not Medei Reis and not Medei Rabbanan. There's no problem, you can sure be Metaltl. But if it's Dalet al Dalet, and it's Pachas Mikain on the other side, it's less than 10 tfachim, then it's a Karmelis. Because what's a Karmelis? A Karmelis is a Malkum Dalet al Dalet. I mean, Karmelis is a lot of things. But one of the things that a Karmelis is a Malkum Dalet al Dalet that has Mechitzes that are not Gevaya Asara Tvachim. If it's that's the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's a Karmelis. If it was Gevaya Asara Tvachim, it would be Rosh Hashanah Yachin. If it's not Gevaya Asara Tvachim, it would be a Karmelis if it didn't have Mechitzes Dalet al Dalet. So over here, you have a Kupa that it's not Dalet al Dalet, or it's not Yod al Yod. Bishloim, if it's not Dalet al Dalet, Metaltlin, because it's a Mokim Petor. But if it is Dalet al Dalet, it's just Pachas Mikain on the other side of the coin. It's not Yod Tfachin. So why Metaltlin? Isn't it a Karmel? So Rashi asks the Kasha. And Rashi says, because we're dealing with a Kupa, and a Kupa can't be a Karmelis. The Chachamim, who were Geyser Karmelis, were Geyser Karmelis on Rishuyos. They were never Geyser on Kalim. And this, at the end of the day, is a Kupa. It's just that we're, being that it has the dimensions of a Rishos, we want to give it the halachic status of a Rishos. Being that it's a Kupa, and Karmelis is a Din, the Rabbanon were never Mechadesh Karmelis on a Kalim. That's what Rashi says. But either way, the Gemara then ends, and this is the punchline, V'chein Beguma. The same halacha that we just said is also true with regards to a Guma. Now says the Gemara, my love, a Seifa. When we say V'chein Beguma, doesn't it sound like it's going on the Seifa as well? Meaning, if you would have a Guma that's Pachos mi Dalet al Dalet, or it's Pachos mi Yud Fachim, the halacha would be Metaltel and Besoicha. You'd be able to carry from one part to the other part. Meaning it sounds like if it would be Dalet Tfachim, why the Guma, but it would be less than 10 Tfachim deep, meaning it would be even 9 Tfachim deep, because 9 is less than 10, that's an example, so is 8, so is 7. But let's go with Rashi's Pshat and the Sugya, where the Guma that we're talking about is 9 Tfachim. So to keep it simple, it would be 9 Tfachim, what would be the halacha? The halacha would be Metaltelin. You'd be able to carry. So what do you see from there that if you're able to carry? So clearly this is a kasha on Rava. Zokta Gemara. Because you see that it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Because if it wasn't considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, then you wouldn't be able to carry. Why wouldn't he be able to carry if it wasn't considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, just to make this clear? Because the Guma, that's Dalet al Dalet, that's less than 10 Tfachim, would be considered a Karmelis if it wasn't part of the Rishus HaRabim. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says this Guma you can carry from the bar to the Rishos HaRabim. What does that mean? Why are you allowed to carry from the bar to the Rishos HaRabim? So Bishleim, if it's part of the Rishos HaRabim, I understand. Less than Dalet the Amis, you can carry. You're allowed to carry in the Rishos HaRabim less than Dalet Amis. But if you're going to tell me that it's a Tashmash Ayde Atchak, so it's not considered, even though an Amud 9 Tfachim in the Rishos HaRabim is considered part of the Rishos HaRabim, but a bar that's 9 Tfachim is not considered part of the Rishos HaRabim. So what is it if it's not part of the Rishos HaRabim? It's a Karmelis, because it's 4 by 4, and it's less than 10, so it's not a Malkum Ptor, then it's going to be a Karmelis. So why Metaltlin? It should be also Letaltl Midurabonon, because you're carrying from a Rosh Hashanah to a Karmelis. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Bishlam with a Kupa, we never factored the Karmelis, because it's a Kupa, but the Guma is a Rishus. Not an easy Gemara. Being that it's a Rishus, so it does have dinam of Karmelis. If it has dinam of Karmelis, so based on that, it should be a problem. But the Gemara says, Lo Yareisha, maybe when the Braisa said, V'chein Beguma, it was referring to the case where it was Gevaya Asara, and it was Rechav Arba, where there's an iser because you're going from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Hayachid. That's true for a gum as well. That we know from the Brice and Navava Medalev, that a charitz, a ditch, could have a din of a Rishus Hayachid. Not such a great achidish. It wasn't going on the safe. It wasn't going on the part that's metalton. Could be a metalton according to Rava. Because if it's dalad al dalad, less than yud, could be we'd have a din of a carmelis, and based on that, it would be a problem. Eisvi, another kasha. And really, the next kasha is based on the halachas of Eruv Techumen. So let's just chazer over. What's an Eruv Techumen? Eruv Techumen is on Shabbos, is halach of Techumen. You're not let it go more than 2,000 amis on Shabbos. Machlik is in the Gemara, Techumen is Dairaisa, Techumen is Derabanan. Even if you hold Techumen is Derabanan, there's something called Yud Beis Mil, which the Rishonim say for sure is Dairaisa. Some Rishonim say, but the point is that there's something called Chumi, you're not allowed to go outside of 2,000. Let's say you want to go outside. You have a Kiddush and you have to walk really far. So it's Negeya to go more than Alpaya Mama. So there's a workaround. The workaround is you can make an Erev. Not a Ruvah Chatzeris, not Shtufim Mavoyis, not a Ruvah Tavshilin. But the Erev you make is what's called as a Ruvah Techumen. A Ruvah Techumen is that you pick and choose a place that incidentally has to be within your 2,000 Amas where you want to make your center of influence as it relates to where you're going to be considered to be in the beginning of Shabbos. You, as long as you put the mazon shtei sudos, that becomes now your new makom shvisa, your resting place at the beginning of Shabbos. So you have 2,000 amas, not from where you are, but from that place. That's the point. So let's say you want to travel 3,700 amas on Shabbos. So you can make you make an Erev in the direction that you want to go. So that becomes it. Now you can't go in the other direction anymore because you have a Tchum. It's just the Tchum is not where you're physically in the beginning of the Shabbos. Rather, the Tchum is the Makom of Mazin Shtei Sudas. When does Tchumen go into effect? Tchumen goes into effect Bein HaShmashas. That's important. It goes into effect Bein HaShmashas. Bein HaShmashas, so wherever the Sudah, you can't make the Sudah, you can't put it there after Bein HaShmashas. Or if you put it there before Bein HaShmashas, then it wasn't there Bein HaShmashas, it's also not an Erev. And everything happens Bein HaShmashas. Says the Gemara, as it relates to Ruvah Techumen, the Schavim Lishbois, Rishos HaRabim, someone had a mind to be Koina Shvisa and Rishos HaRabim. Okay, V'nichei Ruvah, you can do that. V'nichei Ruvah Bebar, and needs an Erev. And he put the Erev in a ditch that was inside the Rishos HaRabim. So the Brisa says as follows, a very ambiguous price that the Gemara is going to try to understand. If it was higher than 10 tfachim, a ruve erev. What does this all mean? When we say, are we talking about a ditch that has 10 tfachim? Meaning it's a deep bar. It's a bar that was 10 tfachim deep. And when we say lamayla means daloy voice, it was on the top part of the bar. Ulamata, when we say it was on the bottom, it was datatoy voice, it was on the bottom part of the bar. Mali lamayla, mali lamata. This should not work. Once the bar is 10 tfachim deep, you can't make a makim shvisa and a rishos harabim, put the food in a bar that's 10 tfachim deep. Why? Because he's not going to be able to eat. So, because the bar is going to be a rishos hayachid, it's 10 tfachim deep, assuming it's dalal dalal, you're in a rishos harabim, so you're out of business. Hu b'makim echad, ve'ruve b'makim achar, you're in two different rishuyos. If you can't eat the food, the whole idea of a ruve techumen is, I put the sudas, I'll be able to eat my sudah. But if I do it in a way where I can't eat my sudah, right, that's why you have sugis and masachtes erev. What if I'm not a koyin, and I put mazon shtei sudas that were truma? Or let's say I put it in a kupa, and I lost the key to my kupa. I don't have the kupa. Is that considered a mazon shtei sudas? So these are sugis, because it has to be real. So if my kavana was to be in a rishus harabim, and the sudah is in the Rishos Hayachit, I can't carry it from one Rishos to the other Rishos, so there's no way this is going to be an Erev, because the Erev is going to be, the Makom Shvisa is going to be where I had a mind for the Makom Shvisa to be. If I can't get the food there, then of course it can't be a Makom Shvisa. El Alav, it must be, but Bar the Les Be'asa, must be, we're talking about a bar that wasn't 10 Tvachim deep. Viktani Eruv Erev, and you see that it says that the Erev is an Erev. Alma Tashvlai Deyat Chak Shmei Tashmish, meaning must be, we're talking about it was less than 10 Tvachim deep. Now how you work this into the Brisa, so Ayin Rashi, because what did the Brisa say? What we're saying now is lamayla me'asara tefachim means if the bit ditch was less than 10 tefachim deep, that's where it's negei eruvei erev. Whatever. But the point is, Ayin Rashi. Alma, you see that if it's less than, it's working. So I'm going to continue running with it as long as it works. No, but Alma, tashmish ayadei atchak, shmei tashmish, right? So you see from here that if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's for sure good. Why is it for sure good? If it's 9 tvachim, it shouldn't be good. Because if it's 9 tvach, according to Rav, it's a carmelis. That's the Gemara's kasha. Elamai, you see, nine tvachim is also considered part of the Rishos HaRav. So the Gemara says, in the Mishani lehuvei Ravi bekamlus. So Ravi here too, like Abaye early in the sugi had two different go-to answers. So Ravi here too had two different responses that he used to give to this kasha. Sometimes he would say, huvei Ravi bekamlus. Really, we weren't discussing a Rishos HaRav. This Maisa Shahaya Kachoya, Neschavim Lishbais Rishos HaRav, the top lines of the Yaman, he didn't really have a mind to do it in Rishos HaRav. He had a mind to do it in a Karmelis. Oh, if he had a mind to do it in a Karmelis, then it's fine. As long as the ditch is less than 10 tvachim, even if it's 9 tvachim, we'll have a din of a karmelis. So what? You can carry from a karmelis to a karmelis, as long as you're not going more than dalet amos. And why is it called a rishos harab? It's not a rishos harab. So, again, in that sugya, it didn't matter so much. In our sugya, karmelis, everything matters. But in that sugya, it didn't really matter. This is Iker Shabbos over here. Shtayim shein arba b'fnim, shtayim shein arba b'fchutz. You have to be very careful when you say karmelis or rishos harab. In that sugya, we just meet in the public area as opposed to inside the ditch. But really, it was a karmelis. That's not it. Sim the Mishani lay, who rishos harab, ve ruvi be karmelis. Not really. You're right. He's in rishos harab. Maybe the bar, if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, would be considered a kamelis, but it wouldn't be a problem. You know why? Because we're going according to Rebbe. The Amar called Avishum Mishum Shvus LeGazal Al Bein Hashmashes. There's no Isure Derabanan of Shabbos that are also Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes is twilight. So Bein Hashmashes is like the kamelis. It's not a Rosh Hashanah. It's not a Rosh Hashanah. It's not Yom and it's not Laila. And as a result, it l'chumra, you have to treat it like Shabbos. But Rebbe said a chiddush that all the shvusim, all the derabanans that the chachamim instituted regarding Shabbos, they don't apply. They don't apply when it comes to Bein Hashmashes. So being the carrying from a karmelis to a shvus harabim is not a nisa deraisa, it's only a nisa rabbanan. In other words, it's a shvus. And when does the Erev go into effect? Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes, it's not hu b'makom echad ve'ruva b'makom achar. Because Bein Hashmashes, I could carry. Because Hamani, we're going according to Rebbe. Then Rav continued. He said, don't think this is just a doichik I'm answering. What I'm telling you is precise. Let's say you have a rishos harabim. And going through the rishos harabim, there was a little ditch. And there was water in that ditch. Rishos HaRabim Malachas Bain. The Oyvim was walking through it as if it wasn't there. Everyone was splashing all over the place, but nobody had a problem. Everybody was walking through it. So listen to this Mishnah. Hazorik L'toich Arba Amis. If someone throws something, Dalan Amis Rishos HaRabim, and it lands in the water, Chayef, you're Chayef. V'kamohu Rekak Mayim. How deep could this water be for you to be Chayef? Pachis Me'asar Tvach. Has to be less than 10 Tvachim deep. Urekak Mayim Rishos HaRabim Malachas Bain. This is not a typo. Urkak mayim shere shus al rabbi maleches boy hazorik l'toichei arba amo is chayev. Tzim tzveitim mo. Right? Again, read the Mishnah again. Hazor, im hoi urkak mayim rishus rabbi maleches boy. You have this ditch and there's water and the rishus rabbi is walking through it. Hazorik l'toichei arba amo is chayev. Kam hu rikak mayim? Fachas me asar et fachim. Urkak mayim shere shus al rabbi maleches boy. Hazorik l'toichei arba amo is chayev. So, I mean, it was confusing enough the first time. So the Brayis says, the Mishnah says it twice. So the question is, why do you need to say it twice? So the Gemara says like this, Bishleim rikak, rikak, treizim. I understand why the Mishnah said the Ikur Halacha twice. The Ikur Halacha that you chayif, if you throw dalan amas shus harabim and it lands in the rikak. Because it's negei echad b'moisach hama, v'chad b'moisach shaman. We have to know that this halacha is true in the summer and it's true in the winter. V'tzrich, I'll tell you what. Because the yeshmin of b'moisach hama, we only say b'moisach hama, I would think, that the inshallah kriya. People go through water during the summer to cool themselves off. I'll be b'moisach shaman, may malay. Who walks through water during the rainy seasons? If you ask me b'moisach shaman, I would say during the winter, I would have thought agav the mitnev. No, because then during the winter, people are dirty, they're muddy. It's a mikri v'nachi. Sometimes people go through it. I'll be b'moisach hama, loy. Tzrich, that's why we needed to say it twice. But the Gemara's catches, why do I have to say he looked twice? The halacha twice, I don't have a problem with. Urik Rishus HaRabim Mahaleches Boy. Urikak Mayim Shirishus HaRabim Mahaleches Boy. Why do we need that part of it twice? Says the Gemara, must be he's coming to teach me something. You know what Rava said? Elav Shmam, you know? Hiluch Ayodei Etchak Shmei Hiluch. A Rishus HaRabim Malachas Boy, where it's Ayodei Etchak, is considered Rishus HaRabim Malachas Boy. That's why it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, the Rekak. That's why if you're Zorik, you're Meisach Hamim, you're going to be Chayiv. Aval Tashmish Ayodei Etchak, but as released, the Tashmish Ayodei Etchak, that Loich Mei Tashmish, this was Rava's Raya, that if you have a Guma that's 9 Tvachim deep, it's not considered Tash. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Hay Zirzo. Dekani, if there's a pole, you have a pole of reeds and it's on the ground. And they're so long that they're very hard to lift up and carry. So what the person did was, it was lying horizontally. He lifted one side of it, so now it's standing vertically, and then he tipped it over. So it was landing horizontally again. but moving in the direction that you want to move it. And then you did it again and again and again. So the halacha is, Rama v'zakfei, Rama v'zakfei. If that's the way you moved, alei mechayev ad akalei. You're not going to be chayev until you actually pick it up. And the reason you're not going to be chayev until you actually pick it up is because you never move the whole thing at once. So being that you never move the whole thing at once, akira and hanacha is not just that there's an akira and then there's hanacha. No, you need a akira, lift it completely, al yedei and akira, and then do a hanacha. That's when you're chayev. But if you don't lift it completely in that way, the halacha is you're not going to be chayev. Incidentally, that shouldn't be confused with dragging it. So if you drag something, that you are chayev for. You drag something, that's a problem. Because there, you move the whole thing at once. You punk, didn't lift it, maybe in the most conventional sense. But it doesn't matter. Moshe, Zayrik, the haitzah, dragging. It's all part of it. So you're going to be chayev. Over here, the point is that you didn't lift the whole thing at once. And being that you didn't lift the whole thing at once, it's for that reason you're going to be potter. And we will stop here.